CQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Gates will be locked. Thousands of rangers furloughed from national park sites if Congress doesn't reach a budget agreement this weekend.
Arizona and Utah officials say they'll make sure visitors can still enjoy the dramatic depths of the Grand Canyon and the soaring red cliffs of Zion Valley if a cutoff comes Sunday. The park's economic impact is so huge that Arizona's Democratic governor and Utah's Republican governor will invest to keep Grand Canyon, Zion Arches, Bryce Canyon, Capitol Reef, and Canyonlands National Parks open. John Scott reports.
The White House is saluting former President Jimmy Carter's 99th birthday.
There's a special display on the North Lawn of the White House this weekend in honor of the 39th president. It's a three-tiered red, white, and blue wooden cake display topped with 39 candles with the message, "Happy Birthday, President Carter." It was announced earlier this year that Carter was receiving hospice care at his home in Plains, Georgia. He's the longest living American president in history. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Biden has ordered flags across the country to be flown at half-staff in honor of Senator Dianne Feinstein. She passed away this week at the age of 90. An IRS employee is being charged with stealing former President Trump's tax returns.
According to CNN, Charles Littlejohn worked with the IRS between 2018 and 2020, and during that time, he allegedly stole tax return information associated with the former president and leaked it.
That's correspondent Tayshia Stevens reporting. Senator Tom Cotton says one reason the U.S. should help Ukraine defeat the Russian invasion is the likelihood of further Russian aggression in the event that Vladimir Putin pulls off a victory.
Our concern is that Russia not feel emboldened to continue to press its war in Ukraine and potentially even take that war into NATO territory.
Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas was interviewed this week on the Salem Radio Network's Hugh Hewitt Show. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Footage from beneath the Pacific Ocean shows three of the aircraft carriers destroyed during the World War II Battle of Midway.
Remote submersibles operating 3 miles below the surface this month showed the Akagi and Kaga, two of Japan's four aircraft carriers, sunk during the June 1942 battle. It also shows the USS Yorktown revealing its damage from extremely high heat and how the crew tried to save the ship. One of the last surviving U.S. sailors, Julian Hodges, at age 100, teared up as he watched the online streaming presentation of the video, saying, "I just hated to see my ship torn up like that." George Williams reporting.
The Navy is issuing written reprimands to three now-retired military officers for their roles in the spill of jet fuel into Pearl Harbor's drinking water in 2021. The Sierra Club of Hawaii is criticizing the reprimands for being, in their words, written slaps on the wrist. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. It's shaping up like a scene out of the Old West on the Great Plains.
South Dakota cowboys and cowgirls are rounding up a herd of more than 1,500 bison as part of an annual effort to maintain the health of the species, which has rebounded from near extinction. Visitors came from around the world and watched the thundering woolly creatures run over hills and grasslands Friday. Officials say Custer State Park hosts the nation's only bison roundup.
That's Keith Peters reporting. Wildfires have ravaged communities from Maui to the Mediterranean this summer, killing many people and exhausting firefighters.
Enter artificial intelligence. Firefighters and startups are using AI-enabled cameras to scan the horizon for signs of smoke. A German company is building a constellation of satellites to detect fires from space. And Microsoft is using AI models to predict where the next blaze could be sparked.
It's correspondent Jeremy House reporting. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Daytime highs approaching 74 today under overcast skies with isolated thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 59. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 80. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temperatures well above average. Monday and Tuesday and highs in the upper 70s. Another look at the short range. High of 74 today. Lows level off around 59 tonight. We should top off around 80 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 60.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Eau Claire Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Ammons, and thank you for tuning in on the network by demand or watching us on YouTube. We're here to talk about the outdoors and how new things in the outdoors might affect your experiences out there. And we'll talk about what we've learned in recent experiences. That's Dan Ammonson right over there. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, we got a hot case of the sniffles going on in the SJR studios here, the Eau Claire Outdoors studios. We're sick. We're all sick.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. We spent 3 weeks on the road and had a big conference. conference, shaking a lot of hands. It's been going around. So I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm just all clogged up.
Just rub it in, will you?
And coughing. Well, I got it before you did.
I feel fine.
Oh, yeah. David Eckhart's David? Here, too.
There he is.
He's quarantined. Whoa. And he's the one that's not sick. How's it going, David?
It's going good.
All right. So we all went to Saskatchewan. Dan and I were up there for about 10 days. David joined us for a portion of that trip. We had a good time. We also spent some time in Bemidji. Why were we there? We'll explain it. We have Kurt McAllister from Toyota on the show this week, the outdoor communications manager. He did something really cool this year, introducing people to the outdoors. We'll talk to him about that, what he did, tell you what he did, and how he did it coming up later in the show. Joe Henry's also got a Lake of the Woods fishing report. We'll talk about crop conditions and where the harvest is at with David here in just a second. But first, Dan, who are this week's sponsors?
This week, Live Target. Match the hatch at livetargetlures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall or winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybel Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. It's probably time to start thinking about ice fishing and a snow bear. Learn more at haybelheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. So much to do up there. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. We've got a busy month filming Prairie Sportsman segments this month. But the new season will start in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
That's right. And I know we're going to have some new sponsors coming to the show here very, very soon. So we thank you, current sponsors, and we're welcoming our new ones. We'll be talking about them here in the next couple of weeks. David, are you taking a break from the combine to do the show right now?
It's still a little bit too wet this morning to get out in the field. So waiting for the sunshine and a little bit of wind.
Have you started taking anything out yet? Beans, maybe?
Yeah, we started on beans last week, but with the rain over the weekend and cooler, wet mornings, it's been kind of a slow start this week.
Has any of it flooded? Asking for a friend.
Not here.
How does one plug a drain tile?
Google's. ChatGPT.
Yeah, how do we plug drain tiles?
Right. Where my dad lives, out in South Dakota, they had over 4 inches of rain this weekend.
Wow.
For last weekend. So he's got flooded corn.
How much did you get?
Like not even a half inch.
That's what I heard where we're at here in western Minnesota. North of us, when we were driving home Sunday, it rained the whole way, at times heavy. And I heard about the 4 inches up there, and I'm like, oh, gosh, the Pomme de Terre River had some current going in it. I'm like, heck yeah, the slough's going to be full. There's going to be ducks everywhere. No. I don't even think we got a half inch at my house. So even within, you know, half hour, 40 minutes away, they were getting 4 inches. And we're stuck in a drier part of the cycle, I guess, down here.
Yeah, oh boy, I wish it would rain more, but.
Have you been deer hunting?
I would take it. Yeah, I've been out a few times.
I'm impressed with the way you set that one stand. Is that a saddle, that stand that we were talking about, or is that just a hanger or some sort, or a ladder? What is that?
That one's actually just a ladder stand, just a one-man ladder stand.
Because the way you got it, based on what you sent me in your Snapchats, is the way you've got that set up is you're kind of hidden behind a bunch of leaves yet, so half the food plot can't see you sitting up there, which can be a detriment for you, obviously, at times, but I think it, and then you've got a big part of the tree, another big branch coming off, so you've got a window, and deer on either side aren't going to see you where you're sitting. You're like, you're not sitting facing the food plot. You're kind of tucked back and twisted and hidden. It's pretty stealthy. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I like that spot. It's right at the Y of a tree, so it's on the back portion, and so half of the tree is hiding you sitting at the stand, so it's a pretty stealthy little spot.
Yeah, well, good luck over there. I'm about to buy my tag. We haven't been home, so I haven't been ready to hunt. And honestly, I haven't had bucks on my cameras now for about a week or so. So I'll probably wait until the rut starts to pick up before I really start focusing heavy stand time. So I'm going to focus on ducks and geese for a little bit. And it was kind of a wild trip we had to Saskatchewan. David, was that your first time up there?
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever done any hunting in Canada. So getting a gun across was a new experience for me, but it was really pretty painless. It was pretty painless, I think.
Yeah.
As long as you fill your fill your paperwork out and pay your $25. Not much to it.
Right. And we were up there a little early. For the area that we were in, we were there a little early. We did get to beat up on the Canadas. Sorry. We did get to beat up on the Canadas a little bit while we were there. But we were waiting for the snows and the cranes and the specs. And David, you left a day early.
Yeah. I really wanted to kill a crane. And the next day after getting home, you guys shot into some cranes.
That's the way it goes. Should have been here. Should have been here tomorrow. Should have been here yesterday.
I knew that's exactly how it was going to go, too.
But we had some pretty good hunts. In fact, there's a new video on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel where you can see our first hunt with David in Saskatchewan. We did beat him up pretty good. And, David, you had the shot cam that day. And you were on that. You didn't need any warm-up time. I needed a little warm-up time. Dan had his ups and downs a little bit.
I hardly hunted.
Yeah, he filmed a lot. David, you were dead on that day and put a couple birds down. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you have those days where you feel like you can't miss, and then the next time you feel like you can't hit anything. So I was having one of those on days.
What did you learn about hunting in Saskatchewan that you didn't know before?
Just the different crop types. There was a lot of canola up there. I've never really seen canola. I kept not seeing, you know, there was never any birds in it. And after talking to some farmers and even you guys too, you're like, oh, there's never any birds in canola. And that just kind of blew my mind.
And then the next day we saw birds in the canola.
Yeah.
But to be fair, those birds were pushed over there and didn't stick around in there. They were just nervous.
Yeah. And even the farmer was like, I don't know why they're in there. They shouldn't be in there.
Well, let's explain why that is. That's because they don't waste as much when they harvest it. Is that right?
I'm not really sure, I guess. I don't know if it's because the stalks are so tall and stiff, or if it's just there's not much grain left behind, or if it's not.
I've heard it can hurt, like, when they land in it, it hurts their feet or something. Because it is. It's like stiff and hard. It's not like wheat or corn stubble that's soft. And it, yeah, I don't know. There's really not.
Well, it's so thick, too. Yeah. It's like little spikes everywhere.
Yeah, it might kill you if you land on it.
Well, you've seen corn stalks do that.
Yeah.
I know if we've hunted in a really tall corn stalk field, a lot of times we'll try to knock them down where the kill hole is so they don't feel like they're in trouble. It's like, well, what, David, that you shot a quill up there on our trip, and we were in an oat field, weren't we? And that, like, that breast on that bird, where the best part of the coloration was on this quill goose, it was ripped right wide open. Was that from your shot?
Yeah, it was pretty high up there. I just happened to see it flying over us and just sat up and got lucky enough to hit it and knock it down. But that thing came down from way up there.
So it just
hit pretty hard.
Just ripped open when it hit the ground.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, Dan, we did get into the snows after David left. And then we had to leave, of course, right after the migration really started. What did you think about the ChatGPT suggestions? If you missed it, a couple of weeks ago, we asked ChatGPT how to set a snow goose spread in anticipation of our trip to Saskatchewan. Surprisingly, it was fairly accurate, except for one thing.
Well, we didn't have any snow to partially bury our decoys in, so we didn't get to do that. We had a few tipped over on their sides, I think, eventually. But
that's from birds hitting them, I think, when they land.
Yeah, I don't think it looked realistic, but hey, it worked. We shot birds.
We did shoot birds, and that's beauty about up there. It's like we're the first decoy spreads they see. They don't have a lot of pressure. Some of them still had eggshells on them.
Yeah, they're not white snow geese. They were gray.
Gray birds.
They were not white.
Love them. Nothing like it, man, decoying some adult snows. And we'll have that video coming to the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel very, very soon. If you haven't subscribed to that channel, please do it. And if you haven't subscribed to this one yet, the Sporting Journal Radio, please do that and share it and like it with your friends. And we're very proud here at Sporting Journal Radio because we recently went to the Aglow Conference in Bemidji where we won 5 awards for this show right here. So congratulations, Dan and David.
Yeah, congratulations, you guys.
Thank you very much. You can see a list of what podcasts, what shows that we won the awards for. Some really interesting ones. We had some great guests. I know the one with Ali Shakur won an award. Ali is a fisheries biologist and does a lot of science and research on walleyes, which is very interesting for us and, of course, for a lot of Minnesotans and people in this region, this listening area that like walleyes. Some really interesting stuff with Ali, and we had a number of other really cool shows. See the list at sportingjournalradio.com. And, Dan, we wrapped up that big trip with a stop in northwestern Minnesota for not only a bucket list opportunity for hunters in Minnesota because it's a once-in-a-lifetime tag, but honestly, for me, it was something that I wanted to be a part of, whether I was hunting or filming for a long time. And that's, we got the chance to film an elk hunt in northwestern Minnesota, and I was starting to get sick, so I just put you in the blind with the hunter we had. Was awesome. It was Scott Moon, great guy. We had a lot of fun with him. He was very accommodating to what we needed to do from a TV show perspective. He loved having us there, and he was the perfect guy to follow around. He had a cow tag, and so we filmed him, and Dan, you got some pretty up-close personal experiences filming him hunt that.
Yeah, and shout out to his aunt, by the way, listening to the show.
His manager.
Yeah, yeah. and setting the whole thing up, really, is from her that we got to go film. And yeah, you don't think of Minnesota as having elk, and we've seen, and it's hit the news, and maybe I'm paying attention to it more and more this year just because we got to go on the hunt. There have been some giant, giant bulls shot in Minnesota. There's big elk here, and we got within archery range of an absolute giant, the herd elk, or the herd bull, as they called it there. And I was just watching it through the camera. I didn't even realize how close it was. And all of a sudden you look up and there's just antlers and just a giant, giant animal. They're so big. Like, you know, I've never been up close and personal with them except at the zoo, I guess. But then you get, you know, we are fortunate to be able to see one on the ground, a nice bull that another local had shot.
Evan.
Yeah. And holy cow, what cool animals. And the noise, the sound, the bugle, they don't sound real when you hear it for the first time. And we might start buying preference points to go out west.
It was amazing, yeah. So we were filming Scott, and then he had heard of another guy shooting an elk nearby. It was Evan Bernstrom, and he was accommodating as well and let us come over and interview him and see his big bull that he shot. And when you see him in the field, they look big as it is, but when you're up next to him on the ground, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to say they're as big as a cow, but they're getting dang close. Like, they're huge, like a horse size almost, really. I mean, they're just monster animals. And he sent me a picture, too, of all the elk in the freezer. And it's like, yeah, that one animal filled his freezer, big freezer. So congratulations. And congratulations to him. And also thank you, Scott. We will show you how Scott's hunt went on the new season of Prairie Sportsman coming up starting in January on Pioneer Public Television, our flagship station. And then you can watch it potentially on a local PBS station near you or on any PBS website or on the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. What else? How much time do we got, Dan? I know Joe Henry's waiting for us.
Yeah, maybe we should take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with a little bit more of our conversation here.
All right, more with Joe Henry coming up from Lake of the Woods, and also Kurt McAllister from Toyota, and the scholarships he gave out to a number of people at the recent AGLO conference in Bemidji. It's all on the way.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique
Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network, by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much, along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart. And man, is the crossbow argument firing up. You thought we were done talking about this. I know Dan wished we were done talking about this, but no. As a matter of fact, Outdoor Life just put out an article that is making the rounds this week on social media, and it was crossbows comprise 40% of archery deer harvest in Minnesota. They've been legal for 10 days. So that's the impact it's had already. And I, as much as I try to stay out of some arguments on social media, I've been very vocal on this one, and I've tried to actually make it a more respectful argument. So many people are so quick to just call each other crybabies and whiners and make fun of people on social media. I try to be the voice of reason, at the same time offer my viewpoint on the situation. And I'm from the beginning, I just want to say from the very beginning, I'm not against crossbows, right? I'm okay for the way the laws were, with older people using them, people with some sort of physical limitation or disability that have doctor's medical exemption. Heck, I'd probably even be okay with youth using them. But there are some definite differences between holding a bow, even with 80% let off, holding a compound bow at full draw, not getting busted by the deer when you draw back, and then having to hold it potentially for a minute to 2 minutes. Maybe if you can hold it for that long while sweating and shaking, waiting for that deer to step into a shooting lane, that is a major, major difference for me when it comes to the discussion of compound bows, even with today's expensive modern compound bows versus crossbows. Pope and Young doesn't recognize crossbows as archery equipment. I know some people have their issues with Pope and Young. Looking back, they didn't even like compounds with let off at one point, and then they allowed them. Well, where does it stop? The arguments I'm seeing on social media is like, well, watch your own bobber. What does it matter who kills, what people use to kill their deer? Well, it definitely matters, because that's how deer are managed, at least in Minnesota. Different states have different ways to manage their animals. They have different season lengths based on their harvest numbers, their available weather conditions, the rut time, the amount of people out there hunting, the weapons that are preferred in that state. In Minnesota, archery hunters get 3.5 months. Not all states are like that. They get that long because it's harder to kill a deer with archery equipment. It's definitely going to be easier with a crossbow, and I don't care who you are. I'll argue that in a polite way with you all day long. It's definitely going to be easier with a crossbow. You can have more range. You can have more effectiveness. You can have more accuracy, and you're not going to have to hold at full draw. It's just as simple as that. That being said, I'm not against giving more opportunities for people to hunt. I'm about creating positive experiences in the woods and trying to ensure that we can protect our rights and traditions as hunters and anglers forever. And the other big thing that people are missing out on this is that the way it happened in Minnesota is the way I have a problem with. It wasn't the DNR setting it. It wasn't hunters voting for it. It was 2 to 3 legislators sneaking it into a bill and having it become law just by removing an age restriction from the current laws and regulations that were already on the books. It's just a sneaky little thing. And I guarantee you they were influenced by potentially some of the crossbow manufacturers out there. It's the way things get done in this country. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I think it's wrong the way it was done in this way, without us having a voice or some sort of say in the matter. I don't want to argue with other hunters. So when people out there say, we shouldn't be arguing with each other, why do you care how I kill my deer? Well, I don't want to argue with you. I just want to talk about and have an open, honest discussion about what's right for the future. Maybe crossbows won't have a big impact. I feel like they will. I had no problem with a special crossbow season, similar to the way we use muzzleloaders, the way we treat muzzleloaders in Minnesota. Some people are like, well, there's no difference difference between muzzleloaders and rifles nowadays. Well, then why can't you use a rifle during the muzzleloader season? Why should you be able to use a crossbow for 3.5 months? It's going to move the harvest up earlier. Maybe it won't increase harvest numbers, but it's going to kill a lot more deer earlier in the season. It's going to increase the buck harvest, potentially kill more bucks, maybe kill more big bucks, which is going to reduce the trophy population of bucks out there, potentially. So there are some potential negative impacts out there. And guys, one thing that we haven't talked about is what impact it might have on the turkey season.
And nobody's mentioned that. You can use a crossbow for a month and a half to kill your turkey. I know that's the big thing of why people buy the archery tag. That's why I bought my first archery tag, turkey tag, was to have that long, because you kind of, it's really hard to shoot a turkey with a bow.
We'll see how it goes, I guess. All right, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk with Joe Henry. We'll get a Lake of the Woods and Rainy River Shiner report when we come back. And Kurt McAllister will join us, talk about getting more kids into the outdoors, coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Panasia Oino Market, located in the Southside Shopping Center in Park Falls, Wisconsin, is here to serve you. Market owner April Harshman welcomes any suggestions for additional ethnic foods and specialty items to carry in her store, like newly in stock professional cooking woks available in 28 and 32 ounce capacity, plus rice cookers just in time for the fall to make your pan-set noodles along with other ethnic dishes. Adding new foods and specialty items all the time, like super soft warm blankets to cozy up with on those cool fall nights, and super soft premium non-slip carpets by La Casa available in a variety of colorful designs. Plus all your favorite luncheon meats, snacks, pastas, fruits, fish, and more at Panasia Oriental Market, open Monday through Saturday until 8 and Sundays till 6 in the Southside Shopping Center in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Welcoming NEB and Food Share customers.
Stock up and save on the toughest filters in the business during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. Not only will you get the best deal of the season on our very best filters, but you'll also find deep discounts on oil, fluids, grease, batteries, and more. Upgrade your filters during Wix Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. See store for official sale dates. Auto Value. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
your love for Legos with Disney Bricks, a newly opened Main Street business in downtown Phillips, Wisconsin. When we buy and sell Legos by the piece or by the set, and we can even find those missing Lego pieces. In store, a world of imagination for all ages awaits you with a selection of Disney-themed Lego sets. Everything from Winnie the Pooh to Star Wars, plus many other unique Lego sets in stock. Kids, book your birthday parties now and stop in for some Lego fun anytime. And have a magical day from Disney Bricks. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5, located in downtown Phillips, Wisconsin.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Daytime highs approaching 74 today. Under overcast skies with isolated thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 59. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 80. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temperatures well above average. Monday and Tuesday and highs in the upper 70s. Another look at the short range, high of 74 today, lows level off around 59 tonight, we should top off around 80 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 60.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now we're going to talk to award-winning tourism director, executive director, Lake of the Woods Tourism, Joe Henry. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Good to see you up in Bemidji last week. We'll talk more about what we're doing up there here in a minute, but I know everyone wants to know how the Shiner run on the Rainy River is going.
You know, it's started, and there are Shiners moving through the river. You know, I talked, I've seen some Snapchats and some different social media of some of the Shiners. You know, what they do on the Rainy River, you guys, is, you know, a lot of the resorts and some of the bait people will, they put a light that hangs just over the water. And at night, those minnows are attracted to the light. So when the Shiners are running, they'll swirl, just thousands and thousands of them swirling. And then what they do is they got big handles with a net a couple feet under the surface. And they pull down on that handle and that net with the light, and everything lifts right up. And that's how they catch their minnows. Well, I've seen some videos. The Shiners are starting to run, and you know, there's some fish being caught in the Rainy. It's not a slam fest yet. It's not the big run yet, but there are some fish that have entered the river. Some people are putting out some good reports. You know, it's typical transition. You hear about somebody that just smoked them, and then you hear somebody else that said, "Yeah, we got some walleyes that we had to work for them." You know, and so you kind of hear it all over the place. But the fact of the matter is, Mother Nature is moving things along, and some of the Shiners are running, and yeah, fishing's been good.
And it's that time of year. A guy could go up there. The leaves are going to start falling off the trees. I know when we were up in Bemidji, it was still pretty thick. We tried doing some grouse hunting while we were up there last week. Some people did have some success, but for the most part, people were hearing birds and not necessarily seeing them. But as those leaves come off, you'd be able to get up there and chase some of those grouse around. And I don't know, our October is filling up, Joe. Dan and I got the calendar. It's like, man. And Dan still has a boat up there he has to go get. So it's like, gosh, do we go up and get the boat and make a quick run up to Lake of the Woods? Maybe.
Well, you know, the thing is, you guys know this, there's tens of thousands of acres of public hunting. And, you know, with some of those trails they got going through Beltrami Island State Forest, those trails are nice if you can walk them. And, you know, when the leaves start coming down, they're going to start coming down up there first. So, I mean, three species of grouse, good population of grouse. It's pretty cool. It's fun to hear about people who come from other parts of the state of Minnesota, or maybe even the Midwest, when they go up to Lake of the Woods. And, you know, whether they get on a whole bunch of grouse or just stumble upon some grouse, it's fun to hear them talk about, oh wow, we saw this many grouse, and we saw grouse almost everywhere we went. And normally there's a lot of birds to be had and to see, and it's just kind of neat to see that. It's also neat to have people talk about how there's so much land to hunt, and you can have a huge forest, and that's great. But if you don't have trails through the forest, you're somewhat limited. That's the neat thing about Beltrami Island State Forest, is that not only do you have dirt roads going through the whole thing, you have different walking trails and things like that. So, yeah, it's all good stuff, and Right now is the time, right?
That's right. And, you know, and you can waterfowl hunt up there, too, and there's some deer hunting opportunities, things like that. But that grouse hunting, I used to think that the trails were just for lazy people. But I'll tell you what, and maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but when we went grouse hunting, that's the first thing I did is look for a trail. And part of it was because we did bushwhack our way through some of the thicker stuff. And it's just like there's no chance to shoot anything while you're in there anyway. It's a lot more work. And a lot of times you'll find the grouse along those trails, along the edges. So that's one of the reasons why the DNR has put in a lot of those hunter walking trails, and some of those old logging trails get a lot of traffic, not only because they're easier, but because a lot of times that's where you can find some of the birds up there. So,
and I should mention too, Bert, that is the DNR. It was actually a joint effort between the DNR and the Royal Scout Society up at Lake of the Woods. And, you know, what's really neat about those walking trails that they've installed is that they're actually a loop. So, and actually for grouse hunting, like if you walk down a trail and then you have to walk that same trail back, that is not as bad, because sometimes you kick up as many birds coming back as you do going out, you know. That's just the way grouse are. But these trails are kind of unique. You know, you stop at a little area, there's room to park a few vehicles, and then there'll be a sign there. And the sign's almost like an aerial sign of the woods with a orange loop. It shows exactly where the trail goes. And basically what it does, it makes a loop so that when you walk that trail, it makes a loop and comes back right to where your vehicles are, so you can't get lost. And you never walk on the same ground, you know, over and over. It's just kind of a neat deal.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. Obviously, grouse are delicious. They're fun. And the fact that there's three different species up there. You got spruces and sharpies as well, too. So you can have your own little northern Minnesota grouse slam. And then, of course, go catch a bunch of walleyes in the Rainy River, which is probably what most of the people are going up there to do. And
we talk so much about the Rainy River. And there are, you know, the Rainy River is but, I mean, right now, the majority of the charter boats are still fishing the lake. That's where most of the walleyes are coming from. And yeah, there's fish in the river, but right now, man, you know, there's a lot of fishing happening on that big lake too. And it's, so those fish are in transition. So they're going to some different spots, but the jig bite's starting to pick up. And so there's a lot happening up there, but you know, between the river and the big Traverse Bay, the big open waters, and of course the Northwest angle, you know, it's really game on. Those fish are putting on the feed bag. The water's getting chilled down. It's in the low 60s, and everything's popping right now.
Well, I know I've seen Andy Reeves post lately. He's had a bunch of walleyes. He had some nice crappies, and then, of course, he caught some nice muskies here recently, too, and then they're getting ready to do some layout boat duck hunting up there. So a lot of opportunities up there at that giant walleye factory in northern Minnesota, Joe. And we spent some time close to there recently at the annual Aglow conference, which I'm finding out, Joe, a lot of people have to give you credit for joining Aglow. I know you talked me into it. And my first experience was a couple of years ago at Lake of the Woods. We did a cast and blast trip, shot some geese up there, and caught some nice walleyes. And now I've been a part of Aglow, and Aglow has become a big part of what we do here in recent years. And after talking to a number of people at the Aglow conference here this past week, turns out you got a lot of people into that organization, Joe.
Yeah, well, and you know, I'll tell you something. The people I get into the organization are people that I like and care about, because it's a very good organization. And, you know, people, some of my friends kid around, it's win-win, Joe, you know. But I do. I look for, you know, creating win-wins. There's got to be something Absolutely. In it for both sides. And, you know, if you're an outdoor communicator, or at least you want to become an outdoor communicator, and you're not now as far as writing or doing videos or getting better at social, maybe you're a company that deals with outdoor products, maybe you're a destination, but I'll tell you something, when you pull these different, or maybe you're a conservation organization, Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, you know, things like that, you pull these organizations together, Toyota, I know you have Kurt McAllister coming on, it's the right kind of mix of people that work together, and good things happen in synergy, right? 1 + 1 = 10. And you know, something about that Aglow conference and the Aglow group just works. Plus like-minded people, good people, hardworking, professional, positive attitudes, but also getting her done. These people that aren't sitting on the couch, these people are out doing it and writing about it and getting her. And we call it, you know, we've always talked about changing our name, Brett, you know, the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers. Well, number one, it goes much further than the Great Lakes. And, you know, back in the day, outdoor writing was the way that things were communicated more so than not. But now it's really an organization that spreads across the U.S. and it's out professional outdoor communicators, and that's what it's evolved in. Very, very cool thing. I should ask you. I mean, you were in Bemidji, and you're a big part of this thing now. What was your takeaways from just the group we had, some of the young blood that was there, et cetera?
We give you a hard time about the win-win thing, Joe, but honestly, that sums up my impression of Aglo completely. And this conference last week was just the perfect example of that in action. And it was everybody helping each other. I mean, that was the whole reason we were there, was to grow as communicators, was to grow, if you were there as a brand or a destination, to grow your reach and to grow your ability to reach people and to learn new ways to do that as social media evolves, as ways to communicate evolve from our beginnings as writers to now as podcasters and vloggers, YouTubers, whatever you want to call it. As those things change and evolve, people, especially people that have been doing it a long time, can be reluctant at times to change and evolve as things move along. Once again, it was a great time to see you up there, Joe. We had fun fishing, and of course, we learned some stuff. So now, Kentucky Lake next year, we're looking forward to that one. And if you want to join Aglo, go to aglooutdoors.com for more information. And Joe, if people want to plan a trip to Lake of the Woods, what should they do?
I tell you what, whether it's fall fishing or ice fishing, right now is the time. Hey, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Kurt McAllister's next.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need, from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP, next to McDonald's.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day, and they're fun, so you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
And now try Babbel free. Text radio to 64,000. Text radio to 64,000.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472. Then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Show your love for Legos with Disney Bricks, a newly opened Main Street business in downtown Phillips, Wisconsin. When we buy and sell Legos, buy the piece or buy the set. And we can even find those missing Lego pieces. In store, a world of imagination for all ages awaits you with a selection of Disney-themed Lego sets. Everything from Winnie the Pooh to Star Wars, plus many other unique Lego sets in stock. Kids, book your birthday parties now and stop in for some Lego fun anytime. And have a magical day from Disney Bricks. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5, located in downtown Phillips, Wisconsin.
Northwoods Community Credit Union, serving northern Wisconsin communities since 1953. Hi, I'm Sally. Starting from the basement of Lawrence Draxler's home to a commercial building on Highway 13 in Park Falls and Main Street in Ashland, today our longevity is member-owned, driven, backed by an experienced financial team, a strong board, and volunteer groups who put the members and community first. How far we have come. You can still write a check, walk in and make a deposit, get a loan, withdraw money, save money, or you can utilize our advanced services by using remote deposit, mobile, and online banking, online bill pay, and also apply for a loan online, all in your PJs at your own convenience. Northwoods Community Credit Union, membership required, federally insured by NCUA.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Daytime highs approaching 74 today under overcast skies with isolated thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 59. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 80. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday and highs in the upper 70s. Another look at the short range, high of 74 today. Lows level off around 59 tonight. We should top off around 80 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 60.
North and heavy duty in Butternut, Wisconsin has an immediate opening for a full-time heavy duty service technician. Job duties include diesel engine services, general maintenance, brakes, tires, and DOT inspections on flatbeds, motorhomes, and semis. Offering competitive wages plus vacation, health, insurance, and more. Experience preferred but not required. Stop in and apply today at North and Heavy Duty, located at N16184 Old Highway 13 in Butternut, Wisconsin. Please ask for Lori and move your career forward. North and Heavy Duty is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Sporting Journal Radio,
presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the radio network by demand or downloading the audio podcast, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. We are here in Bemidji at the Hampton Inn and Suites, Lake Bemidji behind us, and Kurt McAllister is joining us, the outdoor communications manager for Toyota.
Yes.
All right, how you doing, Kurt?
Good, Brett. How are you?
Good. Been a good conference for you?
It's been a great conference. Yeah, it's been great. First of all, it gave us a chance to show the members the all-new Sequoia, which has been on the market for about 6 or 7 months. Give them a chance to crawl through it a little bit. And then also gave us a chance to honor 10 young people who are looking to break into the outdoor industry.
And I want to talk about all those things, but we have a very pressing matter that we have to start with. Like, does your right arm get tired carrying that? What is that ring?
Holy smokes. Yeah, so this is a championship ring courtesy of the University of Montevallo.
Oh, okay.
So kind of part and parcel to the Toyota Let's Go Places scholarship program. I was introduced to the University of Montevallo about 6 or 7 years ago because all of a sudden it seemed like a lot of the recipients were coming from there because they have this great outdoor scholars program that enlists about 100 students a year. And the intent of this program is to put them in the outdoor space. And they said, you know, we got a really good fishing team down here. And I said, okay. So a couple of years ago, I decided to put a little bit of seed money towards a sponsorship, you know, get our logo on a couple of bass boats, you know, logo on the jersey, and then a little bit of seed money for anything else that they need. And lo and behold, They've now won 3 national championships in a row.
Oh, wow.
This ring is reflective of the back-to-back championship. So they gave me an opportunity as a sponsor to buy a ring. So whenever I go to an outdoor group, people see the ring, and it gives me a chance to brag on Montebello and to brag on our scholarship program.
It's definitely a conversation starter and a self-defense weapon, I think.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy. These rings, all of a sudden, they're like hubcaps on your fingers.
Right. Because, I mean, I've worn, I knew Chris Coast when I lived up in Fargo, and he won a World Series ring. So we were at a wedding with one of his relatives. He's like, he's letting everybody try it on. So I got to wear a World Series ring. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about half the size of that one.
Yeah. Again, they wanted the kids to be able to celebrate, you know, the championship, and so, they're getting their third ring here, probably in about a month from now.
Oh, wow.
Takes a while for them to design it, mint it,
sure,
and present it to the team. So yeah, again, this collegiate bass fishing has become really competitive, and for the fact that Montebello has won 3 in a row in a field of 200 schools, and more schools are added to the mix every year. So sure. There's scholarships to be found in bass fishing, believe it or not. So we only missed it by about 25, 30 years.
So there's some great opportunities. You know, people talk about how do you get more youth involved in the outdoor world. Mm-hmm. And between the high school bass fishing teams, mm-hmm, the high school fishing teams and the college teams and NASP, the National Archery in the Schools, and then also the Clay Target Leagues, all the trap shooting that's going on, there are a lot of opportunities to at least open the door, mm-hmm, to some of the ways that people enjoy the outdoors with some of these things. And obviously with what we've seen here this week, you had 10 recipients of, mm-hmm, the scholarship this year at the AGLO conference here in Bemidji, right, which that's got to be the most you've ever done.
Yes. Yeah, we had the Palma organization provide us with 6 or 7 winners a couple of years ago, but this by far surpasses that number.
How important is that program to you?
Well, you know, it's important to me, but more importantly, it's important to these outdoor press guilds. And the whole impetus of it was about 9 years ago, the leadership from AGLO came to us and said, hey, listen, you know, a lot of these organizations are getting a little long in the tooth. We need to find a way to infuse young people into our organizations, because invariably they'll die off in 25, 30 years if we don't have a kind of a pipeline. So in talking to them, I said, let's create a scholarship program that what it does, it pays for the accommodations, the registrations, any kind of travel to get these people to the conference. And they get some one year of free membership. And so we started it with AGLO and with 4 or 5 members at a time. And then invariably another 5 or 6 press guilds that I work with said, hey, can we do something similar? And so, again, we always leave it up to the organizations to find the talent. And so some of these young people have become real rock stars in the industry. So it's kind of neat to know that we played a little part, mm-hmm, in their progress, a little part in their development. But yeah, this year we hit a milestone. So with those 10 folks, we have comfortably surpassed 100 scholarships in 9 years.
That's awesome.
And so we want to make sure we celebrate it here, because this is where it all started. And the beauty of this too is that, you know, by getting involved with the scholarship program, they are introduced a bunch of mentors, you know, people that have been around for a while that can pass along their expertise and their skills. But it's become this beautiful 360 marriage, because all of a sudden these young people came in with all the social media and tech savvy,
mm-hmm,
and all of a sudden they showed some of the older members,
some
of these old print guys, yeah, how to amplify their own efforts with YouTube and some of the social media channels. So it's really become a beautiful marriage of experience and youth and enthusiasm.
Well, in a related way, you know, having Dan come join this show and everything he does, it's, mm-hmm, nice to have, you know, because he's younger and closer to that generation.
Yep.
So he comes with a different perspective. And
yes,
I've always talked about when you look, particularly when you look at a group like AGLO that's been around for almost 70 years, mm-hmm, you do have some older members,
right,
who have gone through a lot of changes in the outdoor communications industry, mm-hmm, from traditional media, print, broadcast, to now this digital landscape that's like, it was like the Wild West for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So now if you're not living in that digital space and understanding how it works and then staying with it, because it's constantly evolving,
mm-hmm,
you're going to find something else to do.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive in it.
Yeah, mass media, it doesn't matter what segment you're in, has shrunk in this country, particularly in the print space. So all of a sudden, all those cheery opportunities to write for Field and Stream are not as plentiful.
Right.
Everyone's local paper used to have an outdoor section in the weekends, and there's very few of those to go around anymore. So, yeah, they've kind of had to find a way to reinvent themselves. You know, the one thing I will tell you about young people getting into the outdoors. One of the few silver linings that came out of COVID is that it forced everybody outside.
Mm-hmm.
My middle son actually spent a summer working at Dunham's, and they couldn't keep canoes and kayaks in stock because all of a sudden the tail end of the millennials and the Zoomer generations were introduced to the environment and the outdoors. Like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I could put my phone down for a while or actually use my phone to take images and take photos.